Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Battle of the Bloodlines or Wrap Up podcast for episodes 5 and 6. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
I am overwhelmed. What a weekend this has been between New Year's Eve, 2 hours of back-to-back nonstop challenge drums. Feeling okay. A little nervous about this podcast.
Oh, no. Why are you nervous?
It's a lot to cover. A lot of things happened. I did scroll a bit through your Twitter feed, so I'm looking forward to some conversations that I'm sure are ahead. What do you think overall reaction to these episodes?
I thought these were two of the stronger ones of the season. I thought the first one was better than the second one. I thought there was a lot more interesting stuff there, but I thought it was a really fun night.
I'm shocked. I still don't understand. Off air, I was telling you that I was going to do some serial-like investigative research. Mm-hmm. That's a word, right? I was going to do some research. I don't know. I had to get fancy with it. And look at why in the schedule MTV is trying to get this to end on a certain date. Because it's not like this was a boring first episode. And they solved the to-be-continued problem in the first episode. So I can't understand why they needed to air two totally separate standalone episodes on New Year's Eve.
It makes no sense. You're right. The first episode ended perfectly. They've completely reset the to be continued and then rolled to another one. I was so worried that they were going to do another to be continued and they would have the problem again. But luckily, episode 6 ended properly. So hopefully from here on out, it's all good. But my guess is because of the couple of evacs that they wanted then on a certain date. But I don't know why.
Before we jump in, which I'm super excited to, I just want to thank, we got a ton of 5-star reviews getting us into the new year, starting off 2016, right? So just wanted to thank VS Reed 24, Emily House of Stark, Meg Gunning, Annalise Carolina, and Tyler F. Thank you so much for the love and happy new year.
Woo-hoo.
happy new year to everyone, not just the 5-star review people, and you.
Thank you, and happy new year to you as well.
No, yeah. I don't accept it.
This is now the third year we'll be podcasting together.
Oh,
the whirlwind.
God bless us. I'm going to start working that in. I've been watching too many debates, I guess, political debates, pulling out the God bless you. Okay. Were you confused at all in the beginning of this episode, or was it me? I forgot that this had finished on to be continued, and I was very, it took me an embarrassingly long time to remember what was happening.
It was just the weirdest place that they've stopped an episode, I feel like, in a long time. They just ended episode after a challenge. Yeah, it was like, oh, that's right. The team lost the trivia challenge. That felt like so long ago for some reason. I don't know why, but yeah. Red team wins again.
And then it's like also because Abram just got there. And for some reason, I felt like he had been there for so long. And so to see him get like an awkward house tour from Kara, I'm just like, why? He's lived a million lives in this house. Like, I don't understand. But
it's like, Abram, here's the kitchen. Here is the bedroom. It's like, I think he's lived in a house before. I think he'll be OK.
Here's the bunk bed we will share as though we are small enough to share a single bunk bed.
And here's the bathroom where me and Thomas hooked up. Oh, wait, never mind. We'll get to that now.
What do you think of Abram's claim that he's been trying to convince you, Brian, for years that he's insane? It's like what we wanted to hear from Philip Shepherd at a final tribal. Like, this has all been an act. I'm not actually ill.
Give the guy an Oscar because this is an act and, well done by him. But no, he's crazy. There's no acting what he's done in his past.
One thing that happened in the second episode, I agree with you that the first episode was way better, but we got to see real crazy eyes from Abram and Kellyanne. And I don't remember the timestamp of when this occurred, but if you could see into someone's soul through their eyes that they're batshit crazy, they're crazy. And Abram was given crazy eyes talking about John all day.
Good first use of John. Well done. I have a feeling that's going to be a theme with this podcast. But it was the best part for me of almost like the two episodes was having someone like Brianna there, which I never thought I would say the entire season. But she has almost like an outsider looking in and seeing what she thinks of Abram. Because she like hit the nail on the head with what he is. He's a pit bull.
Sorry, I just fell over because you said something nice about Brianna. I will recover eventually.
Yeah. I got to say, her and Jenna, I've actually been like two of the best people on this season so far in terms of entertainment. Like, they've been great. Like, Jenna had like the line of the season this episode.
Is it her similarly racist remark?
Her solving racism. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Well, let's get into that. But I, you know, can't believe you're willing to say that Jenna and Brianna are two of the best people on this season, entertainment wise. Jenna, I think, you know, I've been high on Jen. I think I agree with you. Like, she has funny lines when they give her the confessional time. She's funny. Brianna, like, made one remark about how, what, like, no one like Abe has ever come into her bakery. No, but, like, she doesn't know anyone like him. I don't know that that makes her, like, one of the most entertaining characters on the show.
I mean, her fight with Jenna, that first episode, was ridiculous times a thousand. And now she's doing this, so she's been good. She's not where I thought she would be. She's been a lot better.
She had a high moment, but I think we've seen the best of her. And I don't think she matches up to even Nani in terms of entertainment this season. Nicole, Nani, Bananas, Anissa. Like, I could, Corey has provided more to me than that one bit. And I agree, that one bit was strong. Good for her. I don't want to see her again. And I certainly wouldn't put her in, like, most entertaining, because for me, I'd want that person to come back.
I guess that's right. I want to get off the me defending the Brianna corner. This is not a corner I ever imagined myself being there, so I want to back away. Let me slide away.
Come on. Give me more. Oh, the juice is so sweet, though. Come on.
Anything. Let me defend anything else.
One thing is, we get the first shot of Abram, of like the later quotes that will be pulled for Abram's murder trial of Bananas, because he would not care. He would not lose a day of sleep if Bananas fell off a cliff. And to that I say, fell or got pushed by you?
Or did he burn him in the fire and have toes like hanging out there, and he's his cousin to help support him?
I'm sorry?
I'm going, when you finish the murder trial, my head jumps to making a murder, and then that's where I go from. So I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, I've only seen one episode of that.
Okay. Boo.
The challenge is taking up too much of my damn time. But let's move on. One thing is, like, what I thought was interesting is, while up until this episode, we're not really seeing Bananas have as clear-cut control of the game as he usually has. He doesn't have his, you know, mafia of hitmen to do his dirty work. They're getting kind of picked off one by one. But clearly, everyone is always talking about him. So clearly, somehow, even though we see him mostly in the background, he is somehow still the linchpin, like the number one guy.
I mean, yeah, he's always, you're either with him or you're against him. And there's a big herd of people that are against him. So they're either going to be targeting him or targeting people around him.
Can you give some background on this? Because, like, I know Kara and Bananas have had their shit, and Abram and Kara live together. But, and I know that Abram and Bananas are not the best of friends, but did you see anything in challenge history that would warrant this much pure murderous hatred towards Bananas?
No, I mean, I don't remember any direct conflict that Abram and Bananas had. The only thing I could think of is just indirectly with how Johnny's treated Kara over the years. But, I mean, Abram hasn't really been on in a while, and even when he was on, he was just a lunatic to everyone. Like, if you said, like, who's Banana's rival, like, you would have to name a few people before he finally got to Abram. So, yeah, I don't know if he just wants to play it up and make that his, like, storyline for the season, but it is confusing why he has such animosity towards him.
Agree. So now we jump right to the deliberation, because this episode order makes sense to me.
total sense. Start with the end of the challenge, go to right to deliberation.
Yeah, and I don't know. I know there are people out there, so I apologize, who don't watch Survivor, who are listening. But there's a principle that Rob talks about on his podcast about why a certain player lost the game. And one of those principles is, like, don't be too emotional. Don't let your emotions rule your game. And I think that was really Nani's downfall here in this season, where she's just, like, obsessed with getting Dario and Rafi into the elimination. Like, she's coming in hot. She wants their head on a stick. Like, and I just think it's, like, really, like, they two, you know, unimportant rookies said your name.
Yeah, I mean, that's always kind of just been Nani's problem, though, right? Always very emotional. She even said herself, her self-esteem is very low. So it's almost like the second someone comes after her, she either, like, crawls into a ball or tries to overcompensate by going back after them. So that's what she did here. And yeah, that's totally what led to her downfall.
And these 2 hours, the theme is volunteering is tribute. What do you make of Mike's move to just kind of say, I assume I'm going in here?
I was more just confused that Abram was like totally fine with it. Like when he told him, I thought Abram was going to rip his head off. He's like, do you think I just came here for you to volunteer yourself the first time in chance? No, you buffoon. Don't do that. I mean, I couldn't believe that he was so chill with that.
I feel like it's a very Abram move, though, to be like, I'll take my lumps. Like, I'll prove myself. I like cut my shoulder like once a year to like show I'm still human.
I don't know. I just was expecting much more from him.
Well, what's almost more unbelievable is that like Jamie and Nani squash that idea and they're just like, you know, let's sleep on it, which gets new meaning in let's nap on it. And we will pretend you never volunteered and will not throw you in.
Yeah, they squelched it quickly. So good job. I mean, that's good job by them because they were able to steer the conversations the way they wanted to rather than letting him just take the bullet.
Yeah. So I don't know. Then there's more of Nani being more emotional. And I'm just kind of like, ooh, really, girl? Like, you did not go in. Like, I feel like she reacted worse to almost going in than when she actually does go in the second hour.
Yeah, she absolutely did. Yeah, she was like resigned to the fact that they were going to go in the second time, for sure.
And then I'm confused with, we get a question later I'll go to about Kara, the Kara, Thomas, Abe situation. But like, then we get a scene here of Kara and Thomas just like chit chatting. And like, maybe it's really not that big of a deal. Cause if I had cheated on someone who then was living in the same house with the cheaty, the cheater, and the cheated on, I don't know that I would be like fraternizing with the person I allegedly cheated with so openly.
It's maybe she's like, wants to like overplay, be like, no, nothing happened. See, I can just talk to him and nothing happened. I'm sure that's like a little bit of fan fiction, but I think it's just they're friends. There's nowhere else to go. And she just is talking to them. Maybe do they live in the same room? I mean, is that I don't know what rooms they all live in together.
I feel like it's like a, they should really just move to the Are You the One sleeping, where it's just like a big room of one mattress.
Right. That would be interesting.
And then the best line of the two, controversial opinion, best line of the two episodes. Abe came in like a wrecking ball. I was peeing my pants when Thomas was like, Abe came in like a wrecking ball. I was like, where is the image of him swinging in braless in a tank top, that, like back and forth?
That's in everyone's nightmares now. So thank you, Allie.
Oh, I would only sing for this purpose.
Your singing was not the nightmare. It was the image of Abe's literally naked body on a wrecking ball.
See, I was picturing Thomas swinging back and forth. But it's up. It's like that's what art is about. You know, it's open for your own interpretation.
Of course.
All right. So the plan is Jamie, who's becoming a point person here for the vet side, is the blue team will throw in Rafi and the red team will throw in Mitch. And it is a rookie nightmare.
It did not go how they intended. And Bananas, I mean, he got his way. He was able to move the pieces along. He got Anissa's on his side.
My notes are as follows. Don't let me down, Anissa. Come on, Anissa, please. And she did not disappoint. I thought her... I want to know your opinion on this because, and not like, oh, do you think I was right? Like, no, I just mean when Corey's pitching this to Anissa, which really proves what a blunder his putting his foot in his mouth last week was.
Right.
He's pitching to her that he'd rather his cousin go against Mike, blah, blah, blah. Anissa is just being so vague. She's like, I don't know. It's like one of those things, you know, like my vote doesn't really matter. You know, like I'm not sure. And then later when she's getting confronted by him, she's like, I ran the math so many times, I didn't think he'd go in. Like, Anissa's not dumb. Like, I think Anissa is doing an amazing job here, but I also am open to hear that you think she is just like dumb or naive.
No, she's definitely not dumb or naive. She knew exactly what she's doing. I just don't think, I mean, her lie wasn't that great. I don't think Corey believed for a second that Anissa just misplayed the math. I mean, so that's not great. I mean,
who cares, though? No. She doesn't even need to answer to him. I just think, but the thing is also is that Corey is so misogynistic. Like, he is so like that dumb bitch that I do think he believed her because he was getting so upset. He's like, how could you? I told you, like, oh, come on. Like, he's not like you connive, like you master strategist. Like his ego is so high, his testosterone is so high that I do kind of think he believes that.
Well, isn't that usually the case when a girl plays out a guy? They never say, "Oh, great job by Anissa, great strategy." He's just gonna call her a bitch. Like I feel like that's not like a Corey thing. That's just like a challenge thing or just a life thing. Like that's always the way it plays out.
Not in my life, sister. No, but I just think, like, she's playing, yes, you're right, 100% on this show, and she's using that to her advantage, which is what I'm impressed with. Like, instead of coming in hot, she is, like, doing a slow simmer of what's best for her game and will let these guys go after each other. Like, I think it was beautiful.
What just is surprising is just that Corey thought Anissa was still on his side after everything that happened the week before. Like, did he really think he had a shot of convincing her to come back over after what happened last week? That was the part that confused me more than anything.
I mean, at this stage in our MTV watching and podcasting, I would not have been surprised to see a woman be able to be wooed back by a man who did her wrong. I mean, that's pretty much what Are You the One is just based on in principle. Like, I just I imagine the pitch meeting at MTV where they're just like, yeah, we're going to have a show where guys are going to do girls wrong and girls are going to still hook up with them. But you see Anissa is actually torn, and I buy it because she has feelings for him. And I could have seen another girl being like, look, I like him, so I'm going to, you know, this is beyond the game. Like, we could be together.
To me,
and we see that with Kellyanne.
To me, though, I think I know she said she was torn heart versus head. I just think she was more torn like head versus head, like which is the better move from my game? Like which sides do I want to go to? Do I want to be with the rookies or do I want to be with Bananas and the Vets? Like which side is better for me? That's what I thought she was more torn over. Not like if she went back to Corey, I wouldn't have thought it was just because she's in love with him. I would have thought she sees the way the wind is blowing and wants to be with the rookies.
I think that's fair. And of course, we're going to get the storyline where she's like getting misty about Corey. But I don't know. It's regardless, I'm just so happy that I'm not having to talk yet again about a girl making a dumb decision for a lowlife guy. Right. Corey's like really grating me this episode.
Like 1 week
too soon. He's really disgusting.
Yeah, 1 week too soon with Corey blowing things up with Anissa. Because like if this vote happens last week before their whole thing, I think Anissa does go with them because she feels a lot better with their dynamic.
All right, so when we get to the nominations, I retract what I said earlier about how it's an annoying setup to see them debate and then vote. Like, I thought this was way more open. I was actually interested to see who they were going to vote in, whereas the week before it was like, we're voting in this person and we vote for this person.
Right, well, this was probably the first vote all season where it was up for, like, it would seem like it was up for a plausible debate. Every other right. time, it was just clear, okay, it's going to be this person versus this person. Here it was like, all right, we actually don't really know if it's going to be Rafi or Michael.
And what did you think of Nani's speech here where she's like, last week, this person and their bloodline told me they didn't owe me anything, and I don't owe you anything, so Rafi. I'm like, really?
It's just, this is what Nani does. Like, she, like you said, she's just very emotional, and she—that's all she could think about. She just pops off at the turn of a hat.
It's like they won by rattling her so much. You know, if she just like laughed them off, was like, "Huh, rookie," like that would have been more offensive to them, I think.
Yeah, and she tried to do that with the "Know Your Role," but then she just like, if you say, you got to say it once, and then just like block them out. When you keep saying it, it shows that you're agitated and annoyed, and they're getting to you.
And then Anissa makes the right move and votes in Mike, and Corey's like, I'm over her. Like every episode you're over her. Like I'm over that.
Yeah. So you do think it is the right move, but not thinking about going back to the guy who screwed you over, just going with the Vets versus going with the rookies.
I just think from what we see, she's never in the conversation with them about what to do. It was like, all right, this is who we're going to vote for. Let's go try to get Anissa. Even Kellyanne, we see like talking strategy with them. And that may be a product of Corey and Anissa's souring relationship. It's like better the devil you know, right? Like Bananas is a scumbag, but you've watched him play 100 times and you have a relationship with him and you know what's going to come out of it. When you go with these rookies who are hungry and are just ready to pounce at any moment. Like, I don't trust them as far as I can throw them, especially the way they are about, you know, their attitude towards women. Like, I feel like they would cut Anissa in a second. And that was demonstrated last week. So I think overall it was neither of them are great choices, but I would have done what Anissa did.
No, I agree. I thought she made the right choice from a game aspect, too. So I was just curious on that.
Did you ever think that Mike was going to vote himself in here?
No, but I was just weird. Did TJ forget that he had the vote? Like, I thought he was about to announce that Robbie was in, and then he like cut himself off. He was like, oh, wait, actually, Michael, you still have to vote. And then they had like a weird dramatic effect as if there was a chance he was going to vote himself in.
Yeah, I bought it. I was like, what? Like, he's going to burn his vote on himself, like, and force a tie, or like, what's going to happen?
So what do you think is the tiebreaker?
Because even though there was a swing vote here in Anissa, I thought the red nominations were way more interesting.
So not even if Michael forced the tie, let's say Anissa went with the rookies and it would have been a tie vote then. So what do you think a tiebreaker would have been in that spot?
Isn't it like you have to come up with someone or you go in? Like, well, that's when it's just like a pair, right? Like that was that situation. I feel like TJ would just bully them into someone caving. And it was like, otherwise, like, I'm going to pick.
Yeah, they could go many different ways because there's no real blueprint.
It would probably be the other team. If you can't come up with someone right now, the other team gets to pick their own person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe they do a reboot or something. Yeah, I'm sure there's something.
And we'll get to this, though, but the format doesn't even make it that big of a deal if the other team gets to pick the person. Like, nothing matters here. It's like, whose line is it anyway?
Exactly.
But yeah, so then this is while the blue team's deliberation had like an interesting swing vote situation, the red nominations I thought was like way more interesting here.
You thought this was the more interesting spot?
Well, I just thought it was really, I don't know. I just enjoyed Nicole makes a similar speech to Nani and votes for Mitch. And then this is the whole know your role thing, which is grating on me. It's like, what's their role? They should just not try to win because this is their first time out. But the conflict between Rafi and Nani and even Bananas here finally takes a stand, I thought was pretty exciting.
Yeah, I guess so. I think I just thought the first vote was a little more intriguing because we didn't know which way it was going to go. I thought it was clear from there that Mitch was going to be the one voted in.
Yeah, I liked what Johnny said here. Like, I wish I had the pleasure to send in Rafi myself because some people do need to know their role. I butchered it. He did not. I thought that was a good line from Johnny.
I love that Mitch was confused. I think it was Jamie or I'm not sure who's who between Jamie and Anthony because they just both never speak.
It was Anthony.
Okay, I think it was Anthony who like called out Mitch, but Mitch didn't know he was being called out for being weak. Like, he thought that he was saying, oh, you want me to get out because I'm a threat. He was like, no, he wants you to get out because you think you suck.
Oh, no. Well, when Anthony says, I know what Mitch is made of and I don't know what Mike's made of and Rafi has the best chance against Mitch. And Mitch, like, everything Mitch does, like, makes me sad where he's like, "He, you hope I'm gone?" Like he thought that they had, like, a real relationship. Like, he's, like, I'm so sad, I thought.
Poor little
man. I'm like, I thought that was pretty clear when he was like, I think this man has the best chance to beat you. So, yes, I want you gone.
Oh, poor little Mitch.
Who made the best mistake? Who made the biggest mistake here? If you think anyone made a mistake, like Bananas orchestrated a full-fledged attack on the rookies. And for me, I'm just thinking of like how he was able to do this when there's pretty much a rookie majority, how he was able to get two power rookies into not Mitch but the teams to take a hit at Corey and at Dario.
Right.
Jen and Brianna here, like, it makes sense. They have a strong relationship with Nani and Nani's leading this aggression campaign. Anthony and Kellyanne, I don't understand how they're each of them are on a different side.
Yeah, I can see that, but my biggest question from this is if they're really trying to break up Bananas and break up his alliance, why was Vince not on the chopping block to be voted in here? Because I feel like that could have easily have happened.
I don't know if they Well, Kellyanne isn't willing to take that kind of shot at bananas, though. Like, Kellyanne was like, let's just take the easy vote, which is Mike. Like, the best pitch to bananas is not that I want to keep the Rebel Alliance strong. It's that I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. I haven't gotten to know Mike. So I don't know that they felt like they had the votes. Like, was Anissa going to take a direct hit at bananas like that? Or was it easier to try to convince her to take a shot at Mike?
Yeah, I guess so. But I feel like you would have had that would have made it easy. I mean, I guess Mike ended up voting for Mitch anyway, but you would have easily have had him on your side with Abram, and then Jamie would have voted with you because Cara Maria would have taken that shot. So I just don't understand why Vince wasn't even thought of as a target.
I agree with you, but I don't know that I would say Abe and Cara would have been willing to take that shot. Like, I think that Cara is slow playing it. She's using bananas for now, and she won't hesitate to take it. But we talk almost every week is like, when's the right time to take your shot? And I don't know that Abe's going to like show up and immediately ruffle those kinds of feathers.
I guess that's fair. Seems like he wants to, but I guess maybe he didn't like get in the house long enough to get things together.
Right. But then like taking that shot at Nani when the rest of the group wants to, too, isn't like you leading the charge against the majority here. Like, mm-hmm. if no one's talking about it, you don't want to be that person talking about it so soon.
Right.
I mean, I would have enjoyed it from a viewer's perspective.
Right. Right.
You would have been sweating a little bit. I would always enjoy that.
Of course.
But yeah. So, all right. So Bananas puffs his chest a little bit and Rafi can't take it.
No, he can't take it. And then. Sure enough, Nani gets heavily involved and things kind of escalate from there.
Was Bananas calling him Bart Simpson?
That's what I heard, too, but I don't understand the joke. I felt left out.
Yeah, I often feel left out because they're throwing some insults that I'm just like, was that insulting? Also, it's like Dario or Rafi are basically like Bananas. Can't get into his face because he's a man and he doesn't get respected. I'm like, yeah, only women can get disrespected. Come on. Don't you know the rules, Bananas?
This is the challenge after all.
And then we get the priceless moment of TJ just nodding along to this racket.
I couldn't believe he was still there. Normally he doesn't want to be there for any of that. Like, of course, I think it was last year, 2 years ago, when he told them, like, can you guys do this when I'm not here? But well, here he is just soaking it all in all of his glory.
In fairness, it was on their own time. They had been dismissed. But I think, like, I don't even think production was planning on really, like, having all their men. Because you see the guy with the booms, like, scurrying to get out of the shot in this altercation. Like, they did not expect this, I don't think, from that. Like, we don't usually see them walking away from nominations.
No, I think they were expecting just, like, to shut down the cameras and, like, regroup before the club or whatever.
I think they were literally like, you know, TJ's escorts had to pick up a camera and try to get the shot. So TJ just had to wait there because he didn't have anyone to take him home.
I just would love to know what he's thinking in that very moment. Because, you know, I don't think he cares about it. Like, it's not like props when something crazy goes down to tribal. He's like, oh, this is going to be great. Like, I don't think TJ gives a crap about if the show produces drama or whatever. So I just would love to know, like, what he's thinking in that moment when Nani and Dario were screaming at each other, calling each other bitch.
I'm sure he's just like, I guess this means another season of me getting a steady paycheck from MTV.
Oh, God. I tweeted out, I would love to see TJ do a DVD commentary of a season of The Challenge, because I think that would be like the most priceless thing ever.
You also got some attention from TJ. Someone in the questions brought that to my attention, and I did a little research.
Yeah, it was a great.
How does that feel?
It was great. Oh, it was. Anytime I see the little Twitter icon pop up and it's like from at TJ Lavin, I mean, my heart skips a beat. I'll be honest.
I was watching. I told you again off air that I was watching with my boyfriend who listens to the podcast but doesn't watch the show. And this is the part where I was like, what's going on? And he goes without hesitation, well, she smokes cigarettes and has a ratchety ass face. And I was like peeing my pants. I was like, are you saying that or did he say that?
Which commentary from people who don't watch this show is always the best, because like we're so sometimes engulfed in this world we kind of like forget the perspective. So if you get someone outside, like, look at this world that we're watching, it sometimes produces the best stuff.
It was amazing to see her like get "you smoke cigarettes" as an insult.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's a little bit of foreshadowing for her elimination, but that's for the second episode.
Are you making a a declaration of her like lung capacity.
I'm just saying, usually if you smoke a pack of cigarettes a day or something like that, you're probably not that great at endurance challenges.
We will get to that though, because she did make up time. But anyway, I'm sorry. Yeah, so this fight, though, was a whole lot of, I mean, as I said to him and I'll say to you, I don't even really understand what happened.
No, not really. It was just low. It was a lot of the hold me back, I'm going to punch this guy, but hold me back stuff. So, I mean, it's always fun, but that's basically what it was.
I just think it's like this was Dario and Rafi like stomping their feet and throwing a tantrum for having been voted in.
Right. And of course, I love Dario at the end of it, like ripping off his mic, because obviously, how else would they possibly pick up sounds when everyone else has mics and there's mics all over the house and there's cameras on you, but whatever. And then he whips off Spanish as if no one in the world speaks Spanish, so they'll never know what we're saying now.
And then from one ridiculous moment to potentially an underratedly more ridiculous moment, this scene of Anissa sitting in Banana's lap, like, grossed me out.
Yeah, it grossed me out a little bit, too. It was a little like, oh, who's your daddy situation.
It was very daddy issues.
If it squirmed me out a little bit, I can only imagine what it did for all the Banana haters.
The only thing is, like, it's like Bananas doesn't learn, right? Because strategic women have made nice with him and then slit his throat. And I'm really hoping that that's what's going to happen. And it's like he just doesn't learn. You know, like, I guess to a certain respect, maybe that's why he didn't stick his neck out for Nani and Anissa. Maybe he has a little bit of PTSD from Sarah. But he's like, good girl, Anissa, good girl. And I'm just like, I'm sitting there hoping that Anissa finishes the job here and shows these boys, you know, who they really should have been worried about. But we'll see. I mean, Anissa would have lost this elimination, like, immediately. Oh, so
yes. I mean, she said it herself. She's like, thank God I was not in this one.
And then did you feel like Dario put himself in an awkward situation, seeming as though he was saying that Nani was very close to getting hit? Or was that just my interpretation?
Yeah, I really hope he wasn't actually gonna do that. That would have escalated things to a whole other level, but that's not a fair interpretation of that. Not an unfair one, I should say.
I was very weird at that. And then you have Rafi being like, you weren't going to hit her, man. Like, don't sound like that, please, for us.
Maybe this was the almost the Chekhov's gun from Shane being pissed at Tony for almost hitting someone.
I mean, you could keep saying that.
I'm going to keep saying that. It's hard to off.
And then this is the moment we already talked about with Anissa and Corey. But what I loved here is when she's like, what's done is done. Like, yeah, you should be disappointed. Like, I was, like, cracking up in my chair.
I mean, Anissa's been on point. Good for, you know, good for her. Good on her.
And then this is, we got a question about this that I didn't put in the right spot, I guess. But when Nani is, like, talking, is gossiping about Kara, and Bananas rips off the Bloodhound Gang, referencing the Discovery Channel. And it's just, like, is Nani really passing judgment on a girl's actions on the challenge? Isn't that her whole thing? Like, I was judged and I shouldn't have been.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get that too much of a vibe. I just thought it was like, you know, this is all they have in the world. Obviously, we're just going to talk about it. I didn't think she was judging her that much. I mean, I guess a little bit, but and it's for all of Nani's past hookups, she's never really cheated on anyone in the past or been like the cheater. Person, like, even the thing with Johnny, like, they were him and Avery were broken up, so it's not like she's ever been in that dynamic either.
No, I'm not saying she did the same thing, but it's just like, for someone who knows what it's like to get talked about through all the challenges, and that's like, she beats that drum like all day, it's like, all right, hypocrite, a little bit, to be like, now talking shit about a girl. You don't know her relationship with Abe, you're not friends with her, like, you don't know the story. I don't know, leave that to me to pass judgment.
Right. Fair. Yeah, leave it to the podcasters.
I bet you were happy to see a club scene return of the club scene.
Of course, and it didn't disappoint. We got a little water or alcohol being thrown in someone's face. Can't beat that.
I just think of Barney Stinson, where he's like, you got to open your mouth and leave in. It's like a waste of a drink.
Even Anissa doing that makes it funny, like saying she was like a little gerbil, like she hit the, like, a side of her face. Like, I don't, Anissa's, I don't know what's gotten into her. Like, I know this is probably like would have been like my worst calls, probably like my podcasting life, saying Anissa would be dud on this season. But like, I stand by the fact that she's been a dud the last couple seasons. So I don't know what turned, what clicked in her to come back for this season. But it's
I don't think she's been a dud the past couple seasons. But I will just, and I know you're not referencing this, but Mike Bloom pulled the clip of Anissa being like, old school Anissa, God, what was she wearing? Being like, I don't need a gauntlet. I'll cut you with words. I'm like, that's my girl.
And for the second, yeah, for the second time in a row, she's threatening someone outside of the challenge, like in life. I feel like Anissa might have like a hit crew back at home.
I think Anissa's a teddy bear. She's like a Malamar. She's tough on the outside, but soft and pillowy on the inside.
Hope you're not saying she's black in any way. That could spark some issues.
I hope you're not saying she's black in any way. I bet you're regretting saying that. That's one of the things you say on the podcast. You're like, oh, shit, are people going to email me about that?
Which email is actually a good point because people do email me.
Only good things. So anyway, Anissa throws the drink and then it's like the parade of people who just acted like 2-year-olds themselves calling her immature. Like Corey literally did that like chicken dance motion where you're like blah 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 blah, making fun of him, making fun of her talking, calling her a bitch left and right. But Anissa throwing a drink, oh, go back to preschool, like you're immature.
But then Anissa says that they're immature. Meanwhile, she was the one who just threw a drink 2 minutes ago. So it's
she
a whole,
was right, they are immature.
But they're all immature. That's the thing. It's like any one of these people calling the other one immature is like, okay, and so are you. So this is why we're here. So I don't understand.
My new favorite hobby, though, is watching the challenge to specifically try to find Mitch in the background doing something awkward. Did you notice him, like, hopping by the bar? He was, like, jumping up and down while this was all happening as though he was, like, warming up. But he's, like, at the bar, and I just think he, like, has that Ian Terry sort of nervous energy and just like had to get it out. So he's at the bar jumping up and down.
That's amazing. That's a great game. I need to start doing that game. Where is Mitch?
It's Mitch Cam.
Mitch Cam. Perfect.
We
did hashtags. That would be the hashtag.
And then Kellyanne, who is barely able to speak, manages to say something controversial.
Well, first, the weird first controversial thing she says, or Anissa, whoever said that you look 29, but I look 4 years younger than you or something like that. That made, like, I didn't understand a lot because didn't we go through the fact that Anissa is like 34?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're both self-conscious about their age, clearly. Like, that showed. Like, two women fighting about who has more wrinkles is like, you're both probably too old to be on this show then.
That's a fair point. Or just too old to be having this conversation.
I wrote down, Kellyanne, is that your black skin? Sound the alarm. Woo, woo. Like, not something you want to say. And if you're going to make a racist comment, like, that didn't make any sense. Like, that didn't even land. Like, it just, you got all of the shit for being racist and none of, like, the sting of the burn in this fight.
Okay. I know this is, like, me as, like, the white kid from Long Island who has no bearing on racism. But how is that racist?
It's just like, why are you bringing up her skin color? Also, she's biracial, so it's not your place to identify her race. Like, it's just bizarre. Like, if you and I are fighting about wrinkles, I mean, I know she then later claims that she was saying like, oh,
it was a great excuse. She was complimenting her, obviously.
Yeah, it just didn't make any sense. It was just in the heat of a drunk fight. If someone comes at you and was like, your black skin, you're just like, whoa, like, where did that come from? And it's like, right, it's not the most racist thing someone's ever said, not even on MTV, but it just was uncalled for. It was bizarre. It seemed like it just came from a place of desperation. So it was almost like, do better than that.
Yeah, I would just be more upset if I was Anissa, like, this is like a horrible insult, not like the racist thing. But like I said, I can't put myself in those shoes.
Well, it wasn't a horrible insult.
It wasn't horrible because it made no sense. It was like, oh, look at your, like, if I just said, look at your black hair. Like, that's the equivalent. Like, it just made no sense. It was the stupidest comment.
What was more offensive is what you loved, which is what Jenna said, which is you're going to call an orange. You're going to call pink, pink, like something pink, pink. That's just the color you are. Like, that's terrible to say, especially because, like, you don't know Anissa's history, how she identifies. Like, I don't need to have, like, and a lesson on racism here and tolerance, but that she had time to think about, and that's what she came up with sober.
But that's
why, I was just like, oh my like, god,
that's why it was great, because this is like the fact that they turned to Jenna for the comment on like the potentially racist comment. It's, you know, it's going to produce that type of comment, and like that's I'm very much warming up to Jenna being on this show because of the level of her naiveness and stupidity. It produces comments like that, and that it was gold.
Just for another perspective, because I'm high on Anissa. Well, actually, first, before I get to the questions, I'll just say that Ashley Quesada on Twitter pointed us to comments between Kellyanne and Anissa, where Kellyanne said, "How awesome is this makeup job they did on me? It's incredibly unfortunate that hashtag reality TV doesn't always show what actually happened. When Anissa said I was aging poorly, I said that people with dark skin age better than white skin. You'd think you'd look better with your black skin. I shouldn't have said anything, clearly, but I'm very upset the way they showed it. Thanks." Okay, so it was a bit of a better burn because she was saying that she should age better than she does, which is still racist, though. And I don't know if that's... I just think it just had no place here. Anissa wrote back, "Girl, I know what you meant. Things got out of hand, and editing is a bitch. We know our relationship, and that's all that matters."
So Anissa was fine with it. We're all good.
What I loved is Kellyanne's like, "How did race get into this?" Because she's just so drunk. And all the boys are like, "You made some mistakes. Just go to bed."
And then Mitch was right there. Where was Mitch? He was consoling Kellyanne, calling her fan favorite.
Arguably the whitest person on the planet is comforting Kellyanne about a race issue. That was like my favorite thing ever.
I guess Mitch is a fan of the challenge, I guess, right? Because does he know Kellyanne like is a fan favorite, or is he just assuming because he's never watched the show that because she's a vet, she's a fan favorite?
I feel like Kellyanne has said that about herself before drunk to him. Like, I feel like that came from a place of Kellyanne being high on herself because she's like, he's like, "You're bigger than that. You fan favorite. It was so disgusting.
Think this will set up the challenge, like 19th chances with people voting, getting voted in?
Yeah, Kellyanne will not be selected. Because then Kellyanne goes for even lower blows than the whole thing, where she's like, "I can't eat enough donuts to beat her fat ass." Like, yeah, Anissa's immature. Like, anyway, Edward Morris wants to know, is Kellyanne a fan favorite still?
I mean, I think she's great. I love having her on the show, so she's a fan favorite in my eyes.
I think she's aging poorly on the challenge. Like, something's going on with her. Like, I don't know if she's drunk all the time. Like,
probably
she's
not.
Very weird the way her body works. Like, everything is very strange.
I don't even know what that insult means, but that's a start.
It's not an insult. It's just like her movement is bizarre. Like, her whole being is weird to me. Anyway, William Waller wants to know.
She has the crazy eyes. I mean, that's what it is.
Because I'm so high on Anissa, I will offer this alternative perspective. William Waller says, please discuss how immature/catty Anissa is being this season. Earlier, she said that Jenna was not even that cute. And last night, she said Kellyanne looked a whopping 7 years older than her. Are these honestly the words of a woman in her mid-30s? Also, why does Anissa feel so entitled to run in the final?
I mean, she's definitely being catty, but that's what has made her great, I think. At least why I've been enjoying her is that she's like not holding back any punches, and some of them are low blows, but that low, more low blows, the better.
All right. So I feel like my transitions are all just like from ridiculous moment to ridiculous moment, but to one of the most ridiculous moments that have happened in challenge history, we have the episode, the first hour's pit.
My way my God. Or the highway.
Like, break this down for me.
So, the challenge, it's basically tug of war using a metal chain, except it's oddly wrapped around your neck, it seemed like. It seems like there's, like, major safety implications there.
It was, but, like, a yoke.
So, yeah. So, that's the challenge. It was tug of war with a metal chain, and you had to pull it to get the other person's yellow tape to cross the line.
And that is very important.
Yes, and that's to cross the line.
And TJ more importantly, has to confirm that. Thank you. More, that's what I meant. More importantly, you're not done until TJ says you're done.
Are you really ever done in life until TJ says you're done, though? I mean, I feel like that's a good way just to live life.
I've been doing just fine without any interaction with TJ.
I don't know. You're talking to me right now, so I don't know how good it's been.
Bazinga.
To myself.
This is really minor before we mercilessly mock Dario. I wish that even the person who's not competing in the pit would show up in uniform. Have some respect.
I kind of agree with that. I'm with you on that. Yeah.
Or have them in the stands watching. Like, if they're in the pit space, come in your uniform.
Yeah.
Go home in your uniform.
The funny thing is, though, let's say Dario and Rafi both showed up in uniform. And, like, if, like, Rafi, like, hurt himself, they could have easily just switched out and no one would have known.
That's what, like, it says, you know, Rafi wears it with Dario on the butt.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, it's sad. Like, everyone, so people are screaming to help Mitch, and it's like Mitch has been waiting for this kind of social validation, like, his entire life. And in the end, like, Dario's cockiness does them in. I mean, he thinks the tape has passed the rope, so he just bumps Rafi mid-competition.
What's actually really great about this whole thing is this was one of the great, like, fake spoilers the challenge did. Because in, like, this season on, you see the moment of Dario celebrating with Rafi, like, hitting him in the chest and celebrating. So here I'm thinking, going in, oh, well, we know who wins this one, because in the preview, we see Dario and Rafi celebrating. But no. That's the moment that causes them to lose.
I mean, and I'm probably being too hard on Mitch here, and all the Mitch people are going to be mad at me, but like...
Who the hell are Mitch people? Are there Mitch
people? We've gotten some in the question thread, some Mitch people.
Interesting.
So Mitch's reaction is like so undeserved. Like, if I were Mitch, I feel like I would have played this way smaller. Like... You thought you lost. We all thought you lost. You were going to lose. And by default, by stupidity, you won. And I agree that he should still be in the game. I think Dario is an idiot. But he celebrates like he defeated Goliath. And what actually happened is like Goliath got a penalty.
Right.
And he's like, all right, it's so undeserved. And I literally was like, if TJ says you killed it to Mitch, I will shoot myself. Like,
no, that's totally fair. And like, legitimately, Mitch almost died because he started to get pulled by that thing, by his neck. He was on the ground. I thought it was going to whip him around or something like that. Something horrible was going to happen. But the one thing I'll give to Mitch is it did seem like he was winning until he like slipped off the panel and like twisted his ankle and then fell and then causing the whole thing. So it did seem like he was winning at that part.
I mean, seeming like you were winning and winning. Two different things.
I mean, yeah, just ask. I see what you're saying. But yeah, but that's the only credit I'll get to Mitch. It wasn't like he was getting dominated, and then they celebrated and then he won. So he was doing decently.
God, I was trying to pull up whip in that pit, because you said whipped around or something. Anyway, couldn't get it. Couldn't get it done. Like Nani, it was not my day.
It's okay.
Curtis Barton wants to know, was this one of the stupidest losses ever?
It has to be. I was trying to like rack my brain in terms of like more horrible losses. The only thing that I came up with was when Zach and what's his name, that horrible guy, Trey, like themselves.
That horrible guy.
I wanted to call up TJ. I'm like, I can't do that. I couldn't remember his name. When they DQ'd themselves in elimination. But that was just them like not understanding a rule properly. This was worse than that.
I don't know if it was the stupidest loss, but it certainly was one of the funniest moments, I think, in history. Like, I enjoyed that so much. And I just wish that TJ shamed him more. Like, I think he really got off. Like, I felt like TJ would have really enjoyed being like, your cockiness, your ego got the best of you guys. Like, he said nothing about that. He just was like, see ya.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, I agree. And what also made that moment funnier was just that it was the people it happened to.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what it added to.
Alex Panda Moran wants to know, what was a worse call? Dario thinking the match was over and chest bumping his bro, or Brian saying Anissa would bring nothing to the season?
No comment.
I'm going to say Dario because there's no money on the line in our picks. But personally, I've enjoyed both of those blunders immeasurably.
I have not, but I enjoyed Dario's.
So this brings us to the end. Oh, no, not yet. I'm sorry. And we get Bananas really building Mitch up on his return, which I thought was pretty gross.
Yeah. 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 I mean, but what are you going to, he's got to try to bring back something, maybe add him to his alliance. But I have nothing wrong with that.
And this is where we get the last scene of the episode is between Corey and Anissa. And he's saying, like, you know, we can't be together. You live in Philly. I live in L.A. And it's like, this is what we're not seeing. Like, there must be stuff going on where Anissa would, where Corey would still think he had a chance to get her vote.
Right.
And Anissa still has feelings for him for a reason. And I was just grossed out pretty much the whole time.
Well, and this brings a question for fantasy purposes, because I didn't even catch this. This was brought on to me. So what are your thoughts on the line? Corey said, or no, Anissa said, it all changed when you F'd me. Does that confirm coitus, or is that the F me in terms of when you like screwed me over with your comments last week?
Option B all day. That's
I thought.
Yeah,
no coitus points. That's what I thought. Totally.
Yes, I agree with you. Perfect. Even though I think I have both of them, right?
I think so. You're like destroying me anyway, so it's all good.
Sex happened. Then mark it down. That's my new catchphrase. Sex happened.
Wait. So wait. What you're saying, that that's coitus points or no coitus points?
I'm saying if I have both of them, that's coitus points. Okay. No, I'm kidding. It's no. That's, I think that was clearly about him effing them over. Okay. I don't think Anissa would be that destroyed by them having coitus. Like, I don't think that she'd care that much.
Shot down, Dane. Sorry.
Minus one.
Yeah.
Minus is that one. What you do?
Yeah. That's definitely. Yeah. I'm not texting him right now. I'm telling him minus one.
Okay, so while Brian acknowledges his life outside of the podcast, that brings us to the end of episode one. And yeah, my reaction was just like, really great standalone episode. I did not feel like anything was missing, even though it was only a half episode. And I wish that this was kind of the end.
Totally agree.
So we will not be podcasting about hour two. Thank you so much. You could follow me at... No, I'm just kidding.
Have a good one.
Was that enough time for you to text Dane?
Yeah, I remember, all good.
Okay, good. So we get some more. We had Doga, we've had Yoga, and now we have Koga. Kelly Koga. And Yoga.
Koga.
Kelly and Yoga.
Yeah.
Kelly Koga Ann.
We're really digging deep right now.
And this is like, again, we open with like Abe's serial killer edit. If episode, yeah, when season three is about Abe murdering bananas, we will be interviewed as key witnesses.
Right.
Because bananas can't win. Like, bananas is just doing some yoga, and they cut to Abe being like, when I hear his name, my blood goes through the roof.
And it really just comes out of nowhere. Like, this isn't like Wes going after him or someone like that. Like, this is Abram. Like, I don't know where the hate is.
Is this a joke I wrote down, or is this something he said, that he hasn't eaten a banana in 10 years? Did he say something about that, or did I call him?
I didn't hear that. I wish he said that. I hope he said that.
Okay, my reaction to this was like, Abe clearly can't eat bananas. Anyway, but maybe that's why he calls him John, is because if he accepted him as bananas, he wouldn't be able to eat any bananas.
I mean, him calling him John, though, was perfect. It doesn't get better than that. Not even, because he doesn't even call him Johnny. It's John, which is even more, like, Johnny was like, oh, maybe just calls him Johnny, because people here still call him Johnny. But, like, calling him John is perfect.
I don't know why it didn't even bother me that much. It actually, so I had some low stamina. I made it through about three quarters of this two-part episode and then went to sleep and then watched the rest of it today. And seeing all of the listeners react to John made it funnier for me when I watched it today. But my first reaction was like, okay, you know, like, because I call him Johnny most of the time. And to just, I don't know, I just kind of felt like Abe knew him before, until we got that bit about Abe doing it as a sign of disrespect. Like, I genuinely just thought it was like how he knows him, so it's hard switch.
That's absolutely it. The way I compared it to was, I don't know if you're a Lost fan, but the way I compared it to was when Locke started just calling Sawyer James. Like, that, he just like doesn't have time for your fake personas. He's gonna call you exactly who you are. He doesn't have time for Sawyer. Abram doesn't have time for bananas. He's John.
Which, usually if you're a Housewives fan, the calling someone outside of their name is a big insult. So in another reality, if this was in Atlanta, he would be showing him a sign of great respect.
All reality worlds coming together right now.
Scripted and unscripted, unless you thought Lost was a reality show, and then you should see a doctor. immediately.
No, I do sometimes picture in my head who's going to be the Jack and who's going to be Kate when I'm on a flight, especially if I'm going to LA.
Okay. I'm sure you're not alone. All right, so then Abe goes on this crusade for loyalty, and this is when I saw an immediate coach parallel with Abe from Survivor.
A little bit. I didn't get the weird tribal stories, though.
No, I mean, but you just feel like Abe here is, like, so passionate about loyalty, and Bananas is such a scumbag, and his hatred for Bananas is because Bananas plays the game.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's true. When he said, what was the line? If you're willing to lie and cheat here, you're willing to lie and cheat in real life, which is, I mean, that's like complete and total BS in my mind.
In life? Are you there?
Hello.
Hi. If you're willing to lie and cheat here, you're willing to lie and cheat
in life,
all over the world.
Right.
Okay. So, and then I'm judging Nani, but I have to cop to it, and I keep talking about my notes too much, but I'm clearly cracking myself up. I wrote down that Nani's obsessed with the Kara, Tom, and Abe love triangle, but then I admitted to myself that I probably would have been too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is like the only entertainment they have, so they have to comment on it.
I do think it's like very forced editing, though, when they like show like Kara and Abe kiss, and then they like immediately jump cut to like Thomas rolling his eyes. And I'm like, I don't really think Tom cares that much as they're trying to make it seem like he cares.
Yeah, I don't think he really does either. It also makes me just question, like, really, what really happened? Like, did anything actually happen, or was it actually just innocent flirting?
Even if something did happen, I never thought for either of them, especially not Thomas, that this was, like, going to replace his relationship at home in his mind. You know, like, I don't think he was, like, had legitimate feelings to the point where he would be upset that Kara is kissing her boyfriend, yeah. Even if something happened.
Totally, totally with you on that.
All right, so we get to the Girls Elimination Day Challenge.
Yeah, family connection.
What's incredible here is, like, this is the blue team, which was once called Stacked. Oops.
Once upon a time.
Yeah.
Could we add that to the worst calls of the season?
Sure. As long as it's not me, go ahead.
I just want to keep trying to lower my Anissa thing down further and further.
I don't even have to, like, drag you through the mud on it, because like the listeners are doing it. I almost feel like I have to ease up, because everybody's every week is like, so does this again prove how wrong Brian was?
It really is painful every time. Like I enjoy Anissa on my TV now, but now I wish she just like doesn't show up for an episode, so I don't know if they see the 10 questions pop up. Brian, you're wrong.
I love those questions, so yeah. Every time that question comes up, my heart sings la. All right, singing for the second time this podcast. So what did you think of this challenge?
I hate to like keep saying the same thing over and over again, but I really like the challenges they've done this time around. Like, I think they've been combination of goofy but athletic and highlighting people's chemistry as a team. And, you know, this one I enjoyed. This was one of the first ones maybe all season where they are doing it simultaneously. So it's not like we have to see a repetitive thing. So I was in on this one.
Yeah, no, I think the challenges are usually great for the challenge, and I thought this was no exception. I liked that it was something you could plan a strategy beforehand, and we saw like the red team really excel at that, the blue team really struggle, and there was no question about how physically demanding this was. Like, my neck got sore just watching this.
Yeah, I just had to, like, even just thinking about it, I'm like trying to like crack my neck out of like self-pain.
I think the best thing to come out of this challenge was Abe's analysis of John, where he's like, I have no doubts in his ability to perform, but this isn't a quote, but it's just summary. But personally, I dislike him so much. If he were to walk into a room, I would stop what I was doing and walk out. And it's like, coming from Abe, I would think you like a person if that's all you're doing. Like, if Abe's biggest threat is like, I hate him so much, I'd walk out of the room. Like, I'd hate you so much, I'd eat your brain.
That's hate.
That's what I expect from Abe.
I mean, the line between love and hate, though, is mighty thin.
Are you saying there's a sexual thing going on between Abe and John?
Those are your words, not mine.
I'm fine with those being my words. That would be a story I would like to podcast about.
It would be a fun twist.
All right, so red team wins 18-14. I'm surprised it was even that narrow a margin.
Yeah, they win again. And I mean, if this was like a non-bloodline type season where it was just someone gets eliminated from each team, like one team each week, we would have to be talking about the fact that they would have to shake up the teams at this point.
Right. Fair enough. I mean, I'm just trying to think of who's been lost. So like when Dario left, that's a net neutral. Camilla was on the red team, correct?
Right.
So that's, I mean, Larissa should have made their team stronger, potentially, that loss. So I can't even say, like, oh, the red team has taken shots at their best players.
Yeah, but I mean, like, having Bananas and now Abe on your team, having the two veteran presence, is they're able to kind of take charge in a leadership role. With Blue, like, they're all a bunch of Chiefs. There's real no Indians on them. As they said, they're struggling to even come up with a plan that would work. So that's a big advantage for Red.
Yeah, and I'd even throw Kara's name in there as someone who's an important challenge fixture on their side. But yeah, I agree. It's definitely an experience thing. And even the people on the other team, like Nani has experience, but the challenges aren't her like 100% strong suit.
Right,
not known
right.
for that. But what I'm shocked here is, so Kellyanne volunteers as tribute again, well, not again for her, but the second person to do so in this 2-hour episode. And I'm shocked that we didn't get a better reaction from Anthony here.
Yeah, and I'm just shocked that she didn't even confide in him before doing it. Like, you know, you're not on your own doing this. If you get eliminated, someone else goes home too without your having a say in it. So I thought it was a pretty selfish move to not even ask him about it before doing it.
I mean, we don't know 100% that she didn't, and we just didn't see it. But I think it's just showing that Anthony is, like, really a dud here. Like, he's doing well, like, maneuvering with Bananas strategy-wise, but I don't think he's adding anything to the show, and I don't think he would have gotten cast. It's like when they cast a Bloodline season or Blood versus Water season, they definitely take people they wouldn't normally take, and he's definitely an example of that.
Yeah, I mean, even, like, when you're looking at someone like Jamie on Kara's side, like, what has really he brought to the table?
Fair enough. Yeah, so Bananas is in a position where he doesn't want to say Nani and he doesn't want to say Anissa. And yet those are the two people, like, it's looking like are the most likely to go in. And I don't know, if I were Bananas and it would hurt me to lose either of those women, I would come in and be the first person to speak, to lead the discussion, to try to get it on Jenna. Instead, he allows Abe to do that, pretty much allowing Nani to get in without even so much of a word from him on it.
Yeah, that's like the weirdest part for me from this whole sequence for Bananas. Is just not even if he was fine with Nani going in, just to fake it and just be like, all right, I'm going to vote Jenna here and just at least try to put forth your effort of spurring the moment. But yeah, it was just him tossing the ball at Abe is kind of a weird move.
Yeah, and I mean, later there's an incident where he's like, I don't want to be the only one voting for Nani because my girlfriend will see it, and we'll get into that. But here is when he had the time to steer the conversation. It's one thing to not vote for her when the whole team is going to vote for her, but it's another to not try to even avoid that situation. And Bananas's manipulative game and social game is, to his credit, strong enough where I think he could have done something here if he actually wanted to.
I think I'm going to disagree there. I think this is just more like the Camilla thing. It's that's the way the winds were blowing. I don't think he really could have done anything. I mean, he definitely didn't try to do something, but I don't think there was anything to be done.
Well, that wasn't his team, but because he wasn't in that deliberation. But at the same time, right, the blue team voted them
right.
in. But even so, I think I said it then, like, if Bananas wanted something done, he could have gotten it done. If Wes can convince Leroy, you know, of that, like, anything is possible. So I just don't understand. Like, we've seen Bananas. He even said, to his credit, I've been in much worse situations and, like, survive. You know, it takes a lot to get rid of me. I just don't think Bananas cares that much about those alliances and is willing to let them go. And to save face, mm-hmm. he's like, oh, I couldn't do anything about it. Like, if Bananas' name was on the chopping block, you best believe he would have done some more work.
He'll definitely bring out the bigger guns when he or Vince are on the chopping block. That's for sure.
Well, I think it's foolish that he's letting all of his alliance members go, because you need he's an army of one now. I mean, who's going to be looking out for him? Anthony, Kellyanne isn't even on that side, and they're on the same team. So I just think Bananas is leaving himself vulnerable, and if he is waiting to save it on himself, it's probably going to be too late.
That's fair, but what he does have going for him is kind of the format of this show, because every other week he's safe with the girls' elimination, so all he has to do is just keep buying himself that one week when it's the guys' elimination. So he does have more wiggle room to kind of get out of this.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, his partner Vince, we haven't seen any indication that he's got chops, and he's holds Banana's life in his game in the game. So I think Bananas is in a bad situation, and he could have. He made it worse when he could have at least tried to make it a little bit better.
I mean, I think there's a very strong likelihood either the next guy's elimination or the one after that he or Vince will be in.
So the nominations, Bananas, of course, gets the leadoff spot. And instead of like what's so unbelievable to everyone in the world is that or the five people who watch the show, it's shocking that he doesn't burn his vote. We've seen it so many times. Every bloodline has to do it of their partner going in unless you're Nicole. Like, I can't say Anissa. I can't say Nani. So, Jen, I'm sorry. Like, you know, you're not going in, but my vote's for you. Why the hell does he vote for Nani?
His logic would make more sense if he was like one of the last people to vote about not wanting to like piss off his girl back home, Hannah, about being like the one person not to vote for Nani. But the fact that he's like the first person, you can easily just vote for Jenna and just maybe other people will fall in line. Most likely not, but you can always just vote for Jenna there, and it won't come across as you like have sticking for it by Nani or something like that. I don't know. Him having the first vote kind of gave him an out to just vote for Jenna in that spot.
I mean, Stephen Lean also asked the same question, and it's just like, the thing is, it's like what I talked about with Tony and Christina a century ago when they were on the show. It's like, even if you haven't slept with her, you've done enough damage to your relationship by saying all the things you've said, right? So it's just as bad in my eyes to only vote against her because your girlfriend's watching. And if she wasn't watching, you feel so sorry and you wouldn't have done it. And not only are you basically saying that it's not that you don't have a relationship with Nani, it's just that you don't want to show your girlfriend that you have a relationship with Nani. And you're making your girlfriend look crazy on national television. It's insane to me that they could be together through so many seasons of The Challenge and she would get upset at something like this. So I think he's done enough damage here where Hannah Bananas is going to get mad anyway. And you might as well just do what's best for your game and work it out with your relationship later.
I think he's also thinking, because he says something very interesting about it. He doesn't want this to be like a storyline. So, I mean, in his mind, he's worried that if he votes here to try out a save face and save Nani, then all of a sudden, like, they'll maybe be able to edit stuff that happened previously. And now all of a sudden there's a storyline of Nani and Bananas maybe rekindling, something like that. Like, I think he's in the back of his head. He's worried about what might be depicted of him.
No, and of course, and we've always speculated that. I mean, he's a professional challenge guy. So to some extent, he's a qualified actor. And he knows exactly what makes television, what doesn't. Honestly, when this first happened, I thought, okay, he wants a storyline, so he's not going to just burn his vote on Jenna, which would be no story. So instead, he wants to create commotion, so he's going to vote against Nani. I thought it was the opposite intent, and I think it was a real misstep for Bananas to think that Nani wouldn't get upset about this and the whole house wouldn't be talking about it.
Yeah, but I think Nani completely overreacted here in this spot, no?
So Nani's emotionally hurt. I don't think Nani is upset to be going in. I don't think she's upset that he contributed to the vote. I think Nani's emotions are in play. I think she does have some sort of connection with Bananas. Even if she didn't still have feelings for him, like, she still got played out by someone she had an intimate relationship with. And I think it was just clear that she was like actually hurt by it. And she was hurt that it was like a pretty much unanimous vote. So I don't think it was like, yeah, you're going in anyway. It's not a big deal. Like there was emotions like you should have even had my back. It was ironic because Camilla was saying the same thing to Nani earlier on. So it is a bit of karma. But yeah, I don't think the outcome was this big of a deal as just like the act to her.
I mean, because in reality, I mean, his vote was the same thing that her own cousin did. Like, they both knew that they were going in, so they just said their name. But there was no outrage by her towards Nicole.
It's totally different. It's totally different because she knows Nicole doesn't have the politicking ability. She doesn't have the social capital here, the relationships to be able to lobby. I mean, in that respect, every single person who gets voted in should be pissed at their bloodline for not lobbying harder because they're at a deliberation where they're getting sent in. I think it was just for Bananas, who Nani later says, like, every move I made in this game was to help him. It was in his best interest, and he's not going to reciprocate. And he's my ex, and he's my lifeline in the house. Mm-hmm. And he just betrayed me. My question is Nani right? Because Nani says the red team would respect him more if he didn't say Nani, because it shows now that he would just turn on his closest ally. Or the opposite, does it show that he's loyal to his team?
I just don't think it really shows anything. I think that they all know who Bananas is. They all know he is out for himself. Like, this is his game. I don't think anyone is opening their eyes like, oh my God, wait, is Bananas actually like a conniving liar? I didn't think that would be something I could see from him at all. So I don't think this moved the needle for anyone.
I don't think Bananas leveraged it enough. I think if anything, Nani is right. And we see people who already don't like Bananas. So like you're saying, he's already known for this kind of thing. But the people who already don't like him are using this now to talk to other people. Like, Kara is having a conversation like, see, like, I would never trust him. And Jenna is like, even I thought he was going to say my name. So it didn't gain him any points with Jenna, for example, for not voting for her. And I think it gives people leverage when they want to make a move against Banana, as this is a reasoning. Mm-hmm. I also think he could have done more with it. Like, he could have had a one-on-one with Kara, right? And been like, look, if I'm going to vote against Nani, I'll do what you want, or with anyone in a power position on his team. I want to show my allegiance to the team. I will vote for her, but I want to be your number one. I want you to be my number one. Like, I think he just slit his ally's throat and got nothing in return.
Yeah, I too would agree. I just think everything that is going to happen, I think was going to happen no matter what he did in this fight. I think if he votes for Jenna here, the winds are going to turn and Bananas is going to be targeted just because he's a big threat. And at a certain point, he has to be targeted. I just don't think anything here moved the needle in any way that was going to be like, oh, wow, instead of Bananas having a free pass to the end, now people are going to target him. I think people are always going to target him. He was always going to be thrown either the next week or the week after that, just based whatever the voting is. I just don't think this had any real impact on it.
Right. I'm just saying like, he could have tried to at least get something out of it. And maybe Kara would have walked away from that being like, yeah, what an idiot. Like, he thinks I'm going to fall for that. But I think he could have had room to play. He could have used this to try to jockey himself into a better position because he's in Upshit's Creek without a paddle now.
I mean, he could have tried to do something, but I think it would have been a failing move anyway.
Better to go out swinging than to just go out. And I think that's what's going to happen to him. He just let all of his allies get picked off and did nothing. And then he's going to get picked off.
I disagree in going out. I think him going in to elimination is by no means him just going out.
Right. But to consider that Vince holds his life, especially if the red team keeps winning. I mean, we'll see. Only time will tell.
Based on who's left on the blue team, I think Vince would be a favorite basically over every guy. So.
Well, look at this challenge. I don't think Vince can run like that. I think Jamie would have taken Vince. I think, I'm trying to think who's even left. I think Corey would have taken Vince. I think just like anyone, like Vince does not strike me as someone who's in great shape. He's in better shape than me, but he's not in great shape.
We'll see it. We'll see when it plays out, because I think the day is coming very soon.
I mean, they're telling us that with Johnny's closing words in this episode. Mm-hmm. There's no buts about that. Yep. Brandon Mullet says, is John ever going to realize what a huge hypocrite he is? He threw a hissy fit when Sarah voted him in last season because they were friends outside the game. And then he doesn't put in any effort to save his friend Nani and votes her in the very next season.
Vince, the first question, he'll never see what a hypocrite he is. But to me, I think the two moves are very, very different, of Sarah voting in Bananas and Bananas not trying to save someone else. I think those are two very different things. But the hypocrite for me about why he was a hypocrite is what he said on the after show about Camilla, like how, oh, we're not really that friends, we barely see each other, which is what Sarah directly said to him the one before. But I think the two moves are very, very different.
Yeah, well, this has no consequence, and Sarah's move had a real consequence. Like, Sarah caused him to go to the elimination. Nani was going regardless, so I agree with you. So this is interesting when we see Nani's first interaction with Bananas after this. And it's like Nani is just like gently, you know, trying not to cry, packing her stuff. And Nicole is like, eat a bag of dicks.
Eating her Cheetos, first of all.
And it's very how Nicole is like Nani 1.0 and Nani's now Nani 2.0. Like, a younger Nani would have flown off the handle, I think.
I don't know. I think the way she's was hurt, the way we both think this is just like really hurt her, like, to her core emotionally. This was the reaction I thought. This was her kind of curling up in a ball and just feeling very low about herself, very low self-esteem. And this is one type of reaction. She has the one reaction where she flips out and goes way over the top like she did to Dario. And this is her other type of reaction where she just kind of curls up in a ball and like hates herself.
Right. I guess what I just mean is like this really seemed like the pass the torch moment where like Nani is just accepting defeat. And her whole attitude to me was like, I'm going home. She wasn't even, it was almost like she was acting like she got voted out and not voted into an opportunity to come back. And like Nicole is like the pit bull. So I almost feel like I know we're going to see Nani again, but I almost wish this was Nani's swan song and we just get Nicole the rest of the time.
Right. Right. I am looking forward to Nicole 2.0. And I don't remember if I remember seeing Nani on next season. I hope she's not, personally.
I think she is. Oh, I think people wrote to us that she is.
Because I would like to see Nicole as a standalone Gonzalez in that situation. Assuming her last name is Gonzalez. I don't even know.
I don't think it is, but who knows? Not me. I barely know where I am right now. This hour on Mitch Watch, we get a cut of Mitch giving a massage on the dance floor.
Oh, good at him.
I mean, he's just like so misguided. It's like almost adorable, but I'm nauseated and saddened by it. So
it's an interesting combo, nauseated and heartwarming.
Yeah, no, it's almost heartwarming, but it leaves me with like some heartburn. Like I'm not into it.
Okay.
He's just like rubbing Kelly. I think it's Kellyanne. I went back and watched it twice. He's like rubbing her neck while they're dancing. It's like, whoa, gross.
Go get it.
All right. Yeah. So this is when we get the tidbit that Nicole breaks the story wide open to Jamie that Bananas is just doing his girlfriend's bidding. Abby Armstrong wants to know if we think Johnny Bananas calls his girlfriend Hannah Banana. We got a couple things like that. That was pretty good.
Right.
Kelsey Biedman wants to know, how much are we buying the Bananas? My GBH, which I assume means girl back home, which I loved, would be upset if I didn't vote for you story over Johnny wanting to start a new alliance and getting out Nani.
I fully buy it. I think with the, you see the real Bananas when I think he legitimately didn't think there was a camera on him. I mean, I think that's baffling to me that he doesn't know that there's cameras on him 24/7, but I think he actually thought he was having a private conversation and he was showing his real colors.
I think they know though, like they only use that footage when something like really juicy happens. It's not like we see that corner cam footage often as like a regular part of the show. And I guess he really did think like he had done enough or not enough had happened yet for this to be a storyline and maybe he could squash it, but he was mistaken.
Oh, very mistaken. Yeah.
Lexi Glass on Twitter, which I think is a great Twitter handle, not that you need my approval, wrote to us, is it just me or do all of these people have opposite morals? Being considerate of your girlfriend's feelings is nice?
As in, he's not being nice?
No, as in, like, everyone shouldn't be so outraged about this, like he's doing right by his girlfriend. That was my interpretation of what she was asking.
Yeah, I think that's the positive spin on this. Let's go with that.
I don't think it's that he's doing his girlfriend's bidding in the house. I just think it would be so frustrating if you were facing difficulty or you were going to go into elimination because of something happening outside of the game. Like, you want to be there. You want to play the game as is. You want to play with the people there. And the fact that he's not going to fight for you because some chick back at home 3 months from now is going to watch this, like, that would piss me off.
Yeah, I just think there is something to the fact that, you know, last season they had to build up the storyline of Bananas and Nani had a past. She had to hear about it on social media. I mean, his whole life is a challenge. So obviously she's going to be involved in that world of having to hear about her and him and Donnie past. And now I'm sure she said on this next season, like, I don't want to hear any more of you and Donnie having a past. I don't want to hear any more of that. And I think there's something to that.
In Abby Maria's words, get over it. Like, I think that's so I'm not saying Banana shouldn't do what he wants to do for whatever reason he wants to do it. But if I'm Nani, I'm furious that we're working together. I'm doing things for you. And when I need you, you're going to say, oh, sorry, my girlfriend would be mad. Then don't start playing with her from the beginning. That's what I don't get. If he was never willing to stick up for her, why was he working with her and counting her as one of his main alliance members?
Because he's willing to use people. I think that's clear. I mean, he, that's who he is. Like, I'm not trying to defend that that's not who he is. Like, he's willing to cut people's throat at any moment. So.
No, I'm just saying, I guess I felt like the damage is done because they had been working together. Like, I just don't know what he thought he was hiding, like what would have pissed her off more. Like, I don't know why she would be mad that he wasn't willing to say her name from a strategy perspective. Like, none of that really makes any sense to me. But I also kind of feel like Johnny genuinely felt bad. Like, I did think he was sorry. I don't think this was something he got pleasure out of. This wasn't like, I got you. So I don't think it's even that he's willing to slit anyone's throat. Like, I think he just felt like his hands were tied. And I think he should have seen that he could have just untied them and figured it out later. Like, if Hannah Bananas is really going to break up with him because of this, like, how strong is your relationship anyway?
I mean, I'm not going to speak down. I don't know if that's like what he's considered. I don't know. But I just think that's what he was worried about in the moment.
Yeah, no, I agree. But that's why I think it's not that people are saying like, oh, you should dishonor your girlfriend. I think people are just understandably confused at why you would cut your best ally for no real reason inside of the game.
Right. That's fair.
So when we get to the pit, Kyle Jaleel B says, do you think it's funny that Gahuda's exes are in the pit?
You know, I didn't even pick up on that notion. Just because they like didn't play up at all the Gahuda Kalyan stuff. So like by like the first episode, I kind of forgot it. And then by the second episode, he was out of the game. So I was kind of just like totally forgot about those two.
I forgot as well, but I thought this was really funny when Kyle brought it up. And I do wish that Gahuda was there because maybe then he would have said something about it.
I think so too.
This seemed like a pretty grueling pit.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I don't think I could. I probably would have passed out halfway through. So, I mean, good on them. Good on Kellyanne to like have a nice little built-in excuse about the little chest cold she had with some of the fakest coughs I've ever heard in my life.
It's the black lung. That actually sounded pretty real.
I'm good. I've gotten sick enough that I know how to like fake cough.
I feel like I'm getting germs through the microphone.
That's how we roll.
Or my headphones, I guess, which is connected. All right, do you want to set this up, though? I hate talking about the challenges.
Yes, this was Ring My Bell. They had to run through a mattress and hit a bell back and forth. They had to do it 50 times.
I think I'm kind of surprised that Kellyanne won, only because... So Nani had some trouble ringing the bell, which is, you know, you had one job. She couldn't get her mattress right to ring the bell. And so she, by the time she got the hang of it, Kellyanne had, like, a decent lead on her. And she did close that gap, which is pretty impressive, significantly, but not enough. And she loses by 2 bell rings.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I thought the way it started out, and I thought based off Nani's probable stamina, I thought Kellyanne would probably end up winning this by a decent margin. So yeah, I was surprised that Nani was able to make a little bit of a run.
I think Nani would have won if she had just like taken to the challenge right away.
It certainly seemed that way, yeah.
But I think who were the other options? Jenna and Anissa, I think both would have lost to either of them in this challenge.
Yeah, I mean, definitely Anissa. As she said, this is not the challenge for her. She was more like the tug of war one. That's where she would dominate. But and then Jenna, I mean, I don't think she would do that well, but who knows with her sometimes.
Unless she's like worked on her endurance, I don't think that that's her strong suit.
Right. Right.
Okay, sorry. But I have a big question from Nick Sabetta. It's more like a rant and then I attached Edward Morris's question because I'm Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein. Okay. Nick Sabetta, I think this is the episode where I finally reached the point of being done with Nani. I'm just so tired of her trying to say she's better than all the rookies just because she's been on more seasons than them. I looked it up and she's 1-6 in eliminations, her only win being against Laura and Trey, or that guy that sucks, as Brian would say, in that make a knot and then untangle it elimination. That's not very good. I think the worst thing that happened to her was making the finals on Free Agents, because now she thinks she's some legend who basically needs to be worshipped by the rookies. I'm glad Kellyanne helped her remember her place as being an average competitor. And then Edward Morris says, is Nani the most overrated competitor?
I don't think she's that overrated, because I don't know if people really think she's that great. I think she is properly rated. She's like the middle of the road average person.
I think viewers think she's pretty good. I think she's, because it's again,
the 1-6 elimination is kind of surprising.
Right? Like, don't you think of her as having a better shot when you think she gets voted in? I just remember her when she was doing that hopping one and she just like totally gassed out. That was like such a pathetic performance. You remember that was bananas. That was last season.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then somebody brought up that like, oh, the Battle of the Exiled should count. And those were like carnival games. That doesn't count. When you beat the losers, it doesn't count as an elimination win.
Right. That's totally fair. Those extra stuff does not go toward her record.
I think even in my head, I mean, I can only speak for my own ratings. Like, I would say that Nani's overrated, that I've overrated Nani, because I think of her as being in the final. I think of her as being athletic, and she does not perform when it counts overall. So,
I mean, she just doesn't handle pressure that well. I think that's just been clear. Anytime a stressful environment, she curls up.
I also think it's like that I forgot what I was going to say. So Tiffany Stiegel says, I know this will never happen, but do you think Nani should take a short break from the challenges? At least a couple of seasons. She's tried it with the same allies time and time again to no avail. Maybe if she waited a couple of seasons, some new blood would seep in and she would be a more respected veteran to newbies. I like her fine, but I guess I'm just a little disappointed in the evolution of her, or lack thereof.
Yeah, I think with Nicole on now, I think a season or two off could be a good benefit.
I think if Nani doesn't come back every time they ask, she doesn't get asked back. Because I think when you see a season without her and you see that you don't need her at all, like, why are they going to keep asking her? I'm sure she gets more money than a lot of the new people who are bringing more interesting things to the table. And I don't know that they feel, I mean, clearly they're giving her a lot of airtime, so they probably feel like she's worth, you know, the check. But I think the second she shows there can be a good season without her, like, she needs to be there every time so she's in the conversation.
Yeah, I think she definitely thinks that. I don't know if that's definitely the case. I think she definitely thinks that if she's not there, then they're going to forget about her.
Edward Morris says, have the bloodlines been duds? Fresh Meat 1, we got a lot from Evan, Kenny, Casey, DM, and a few others. Fresh Meat 2, I don't recall so well, but it brought us Cara Maria, Laurel, and Teresa.
I think what it is we need to see the 2.0 versions of these people. From what I even remember about the Fresh Meat ones, like Cara, Laurel, and all them, like their original season, they weren't even that strong of players because they were still over a little bit overshadowed from whoever their pair was. It wasn't until they're on their own doing their own thing that they can really start to shine. So that's when I think 2.0 versions is when we'll see like who really are the keepers.
I felt like I remember Kenny and Evan being real standouts in Fresh Meat 1. Laurel was a beast, maybe not drama-wise, but she was an absolute beast her first season. So I don't know. I think I just don't like family casting because I just think you're casting people who wouldn't be able to make it if they weren't related to people who were entertaining enough to make it. So like Anthony's dud, Michael's a dud from what we can see now. Rihanna's a dud. Like they're just so few people that I want to see back. Like you even mentioned Jamie as what's he really adding, and he's coming back. So if that's, you know, I don't know, even Vince to a certain respect, like I see what you're saying that they're choosing different storylines and maybe stuff is going on, but I'm just not a fan of family casting for the most part.
No, that's definitely fair. That's fair.
Ben Kratzley on Twitter asked us if Survivor was run like the challenge, a small pool of contestants to choose with many returning players, would it be better or worse?
I think Survivor would be much worse. I think after seeing a couple people, after you see them a couple times, that's all you need.
And I think we're tired of this cast already. Not this cast, but we were calling for a fresh meat season. We've been calling for it for a while. So I even think this doesn't work 1,000% perfectly for the challenge.
I just think with the challenge, you get more personal stories and drama stuff that Survivor doesn't bring. That it does. You do have a level of freshness, even if you have the same type of people there. By just adding a few people here or there, it can bring new stuff. Like with Survivor, if you have the same people, at the end of the day, they're going to do the same type of stuff over and over again. Whereas the challenge, I feel like you can do different things.
Yeah, but I mean, part of that, though, is because they have these relationships because they get brought back so often. But I agree. And I thought Kageyan was amazing. So no Kageyan if we do that.
Right.
Anthony, I'm sorry, I have another question. So this is when Anthony is saying, like, oh, he trusts John, and they're having a conversation. He's like, all right, I trust you. Kristen Kinnear says, what's with Kellyanne's strategy? It seems odd to me that she's sticking with the minority of rookies when even her cousin seems to be working with the vets.
She doesn't have a strategy. Her strategy is she's going with the people she likes. That's her strategy.
She's a loose cannon, and her body moves weird.
When you think of someone with crazy eyes, it's Kellyanne. Like, if you, she can look through your soul and like rip it out with her eyes.
All right, so this is when Johnny says, like, trust me, dude, it takes a lot to get rid of me, which to me screams he's going out next week, even though it's a girl's elimination. Or no, it's a guy's elimination next week. Guys. The double episode confused me. All right, so Johnny then threatens that he's gonna expose Cara, Maria, and Abram and Thomas. Derek Boucher, or Butcher, wants to know, were you also confused that they hyped up the Abe Thomas Cara confrontation for the whole first hour, and then in the previews for the second hour, all for it to just be next week? That drove me crazy.
Of course not, because this is what MTV does. Whenever they start previewing something, it'll happen in a couple weeks.
Kristen Kinnear wants to know, are you surprised 3 episodes have passed and Abram doesn't know about Cara and Thomas? Do you think John will actually be the one to break the news?
Well, it's really only been, in terms of his timeline, like an episode and a half, right? Because he came in like midway through an episode, and then that finished out, and then he had like this one. So he hasn't only been there for 3 episodes.
Are you surprised, though, that he's been there at all and nobody said anything?
For sure. I'm surprised no drunken comments been made. And he had like a weird comment about going to Thomas's room to do something. That was bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, everything Abe says is bizarre.
That's fair.
So in terms of will John actually be the one to break the news, I think Emily Zitterkopf says it best with her question, which is, who do you think John is going to get to be his puppet to tell Abe about Tom?
I can see, like, Anthony doing it. Who is that? I swear, I can't keep track. Which one's Kellyanne's bloodline? Anthony. Right? Okay, Anthony.
I almost think it's going to be Vince. I really do. I think that we get the scene of John really drilling it into Vince. And I almost think Vince is going to be the one to do it.
I like how throughout this podcast, you've sometimes said John and sometimes says bananas. So well done by you.
I do what I want. I also think, though, that like bananas, I don't think is aware of how much like pure hatred Abe has towards him, because it's only in confessionals.
He said on Twitter that he was stunned watching back how much hate he has.
Oh my God, do you have that tweet?
That's amazing. Yeah, give me some. Just talk wildly for like 20 seconds.
All right, so Edward Morris's next question is, now the right time to make the move on bananas? I would say, yeah, anytime now. He's got no one. He's got nothing. He's just a sitting duck, except for the fact that he is a threat to win and come back. But he doesn't have really the votes to launch a counterstrike. So I think this is the time without so much fear of retaliation.
I found a tweet. Someone said to him, will we at any point address with Abram Johnny feud that seems to be one-sided? I always thought there was mutual respect there. And he said, I was just as shocked to learn the amount of disdain Abe had towards me. # the challenge bloodlines.
Abe is just like,
you piece of you cheater! You're gonna die!
Well, he's gonna say that to Cara.
We'll see. And just thank you to Russell Koch, who emailed that to Brian, because I was not going to do it for him, even though I said I would.
And now I know who my true friends are.
So do you think it's the time to get bananas? Time to take the hit on bananas?
That's what I was talking about. Yeah, time to go for it. I wouldn't want to be the person trying to knock him out. I think it's a lot easier to rally up the troops and put him in and then have someone else try to knock him out.
I think Corey would not hesitate to volunteer. Abe would not hesitate to volunteer.
Is Corey on his team? I don't even remember.
Corey's
on Vince's team, right?
Oh, I always forget how that is a thing. Yeah, Corey's on the blue team.
Yeah.
All right, so Emily Crow, on that note, will we get the Abram Bananas pit, or will it be a tease like last season when we thought we would see Wes and Bananas duel?
I don't think we're going to get it. I think if they go in, they're going against someone else.
Andrea Feldman says, I almost think Abram's like the only crazy one to do, like crazy enough to do it, but I feel like we would have seen that preview. We would have seen that like right in all of their advertising, but who knows? Andrew Feldman, how was Abram only an alternate? Even if his bro is a little vanilla, they're way more entertaining than Tom and Steven, Corey and Mitch, and Dario and Rafi.
It's a fair question. I'm not sure why Abe wasn't just directly casted or cast. I always say casted. And people keep telling me that's not a word.
Tell them to shut up. I'm just kidding. We love corrections here. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you get Abe to be willing to do this. Maybe they're really trying to go away from like old school. And if they feel like, you know, people don't even know who Abe is. We do.
It's possible.
And I think they may be trying to build like this next class. And so they have those like three younger guys, but well, six, but I mean the three people who are on shows.
Right.
We get a little bit more clarity this week about CT and Zach's role in their appearance. I thought so, because they both come out in the same time. So like, whereas it used to be like we would get a clip of CT coming out clearly to like wreck them in a challenge or be, you know, some part of the challenge, and we get Zach like in bed with Jenna. This time we see them both come out like as though they're both meant to be like the two big dudes of the challenge. Which I thought was more clarity than before. Like, they're going to be there at the same time, and they're both involved in the challenge.
I guess so. I'm still pretty unclear about what's going to happen.
I wish, though, that they brought in Laurel instead of Zach. Like, does Zach really deserve to be in the conversation with CT as, like, this monstrous threat?
Definitely not.
I would have loved to see, like, CT and Laurel come back, and I'm sure we'll see why they needed, like, two big dudes, but I feel like they should have brought a big girl back. Not big, but like a big threat girl.
A big girl now.
Just an FYI, Jenna confirmed that her and Zach broke up, and Brianna responded on Twitter that he's a cheating asshole. And I think that's going to be really hard to watch, because I feel like he's going to be making out with her, and you know that he's cheating on her back home.
But all right, so serious question. What odds do you give that Brianna hooks up with Zach?
Zero.
Okay.
I don't think she's his type. We'll leave it at that. Andrew Feldman says, the more I watch, the less I like the format. What's the point of the challenges? If you lose, you have a chance to go into the pit. If you win, you have a chance to go home. If your bloodline loses in the pit, if you're not going to give me safety for winning, at least give me a little money or something. Have nots, something.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if there was prizes to the winning team. I mean, I haven't done that in so long. It'd be kind of weird to bring it back now, but this would be the perfect time to do that.
Yeah, they don't have the money, though, and they don't have the sponsorship.
Wish they were giving out T-Mobile sidekicks again. Those are fun.
Well, somebody brought up, like, having a team bank account, but they're not going to do the final in teams.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it is really, really pathetic. I agree with you, Andra.
Why couldn't they just, like, take the $250,000 they didn't give to the Are You the One people and just, like, spurs it out here?
Because different... Who pays the bill for people who are binging season three of Are You the One? Who, if you have time to listen to like however long this podcast is, you probably had time to watch Are You the One if you wanted to. Who pays the bill of the prize? Is it MTV? Is it production? Is it like who, like the production company? Like, I don't know how TV works.
I don't know either, honestly. I would guess Bina Murray is the one paying it, because MTV is just kind of showing it to show, but Bina Murray is the one producing it.
So then they don't have the $250,000.
That's true. That's lighthearted, yeah.
All right. So we got into it briefly at the end of like our origin stories with the challenge, and Floyd Brian Casson, who's a new listener, wants to know, Brian, have you ever gone back and watched the old seasons of the challenge? And Allie, which season was your first season watching the challenge?
Yeah, I've gone back and watched some of them. I went back and watched some of old Real World seasons. I haven't watched all of them. I'm not going to pretend and say I did, but I've gone back and watched some of them. I don't remember which ones, honestly.
You don't need to pretend. Rob didn't ask us for our resume. I think being willing to spend like 3 hours a week on this qualifies you and me.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I went back to look at the real. I just have more like clearer memories from the Real World. And the first season that I remember like full on watching was in 2000. And the seasons before that, like Hawaii and one other one, I remember it, but I don't think I watched it like full on. I was also like seven, so my memory might be a little fuzzy. And I can only imagine that I was also watching the challenge, but I don't have vivid memories of that, and I have not gone back. I don't think the Real World really holds up. I think the Real World is such a product of the time and place you're in the world. And like when I watched in Max Dawson's class at Northwestern, we watched like the first episode of the first season. I'm sure people feel differently. Maybe it's nostalgic, but I don't feel like it holds up as much.
Yeah, I agree. I think it would be weird to go back and watch a Real World, like Real World 2000. I think that would be it will look pretty dated.
So when you went back, which were the ones that you went back and watched?
I went back and watched Key West for Banana season. I watched Austin for West's season. And I watched, what was another one I watched? The first Vegas I watched.
Did you watch New York?
No, I didn't watch New York.
You haven't seen Coral and the Miz's season? Come on.
I did not see that one, no.
Oh, that's for shame, yeah. For shame.
Those three I fully remember watching. I think I won Hollywood also. I don't think, maybe I watched some of it and then stopped watching it. I don't know.
Is that Sarah's season?
Sarah was Brooklyn, right?
Oh, who am I thinking of? No, the guy who passed away was Hollywood.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm confusing them. All right. Yeah, I think with the Real World, it just, when you just mentioned those seasons, it makes me sad and nostalgic for when the Real World was interesting. Like in Key West, when like the hurricane happens, like that was some very interesting television.
Yeah, it's just a very different show now. That's just what it is.
Okay. So Billy Gross wants to know, halfway through, who is killing it this season as the MVP, and why is it Anissa?
I'll let you take that question.
Well, no, you've already offered that it may be Brianna.
Okay, I'm not getting back in that corner.
You're in the corner, bro.
I'm trying to think of an alternate I could say besides Anissa. No, I think that's shit. That's probably Anissa.
Yeah, I mean, she's not in terms of like the challenge MVP, but just in terms of giving. Cara Marie is also up there, just in terms of her dealings with Bananas, her dealings with Abe, her dealings with Thomas. Like in terms of creating the biggest storylines, I think you have Anissa and you have Cara. And yet everyone will still credit Abe and Bananas.
I would toss Corey in the mix there. I think Corey's been pretty solid all around.
Yeah, but in a way that I hate him, he's like most valuable douchebag. And Tony is like completely out of the conversation, which is hilarious because like 2 weeks ago, you totally would have said Tony.
I mean, Tony, the first three episodes, him and Shane were fantastic.
All right. So there was some Twitter controversy with Laurel and Abe this week.
Yes, there was.
The only thing anyone can really attribute Abe's reaction to is that Laurel does a terrible job of live tweeting the episode because she doesn't like speak in complete sentences. She just gives her immediate reaction, so she'll be like, oh no, and you're like, what part was this, what are you talking about? So she said, like, take the sharps out of the house, give at Abram Boise sporks only, which I thought was playful because she tags him in it.
Wasn't playful for him.
So he says something I'm not comfortable reading on air or anywhere. Dear at Laurel Stuckey, you are a C word, and it is rare when deserved. You do. Always have been since the day I met the nastiest drunk I ever. Abram, smiley face. You're on drugs, sir.
Drugs are a powerful thing.
So Laurel responds, "Is this because I broke your coffee grinder? I didn't mean to do it. No need to fly off the handle." And then she should have left it at that. But she then wrote, "Hey, at Abram Boise." How do you pronounce his name?
You bet your guess is as good as mine. I'll go Boise.
"I thought about this whole name calling blame thing, and I decided I forgive you for being mad and mean. You're not happy, and I get it." Again, leave it at the coffee grinder. That was so good. And then she says, "When insults get thrown your way, consider the source before you go and get any type of offended." Which, consider the source, was huge on Real Housewives of Orange County this season. Huge. But could you get PVS in here to talk about that?
I'll ring her up.
But yeah, so that, I don't know where Laurel and Kara's relationship stands, so I don't know.
I think they're friends, but it's weird that like her boyfriend would hate her.
If my friend's boyfriend's calling me a C word, that's not my friend.
I'll say this, so Laurel is one of the meanest drunks probably ever. So
yeah, people were trying to trace it back and like attribute it that Abe is like still mad about her lashing out at Big Easy, and I'm like, no, like Abe probably has like 5,000 interactions with her wasted.
Oh, for sure. Definitely.
But that's all the questions I have for you.
Okay. Quick fantasy update.
Yes. Episode.
So, for the first episode totals. So, Corey and Mitch get the elimination point wins. For fighting, I gave it to Anissa and Kellyanne. And then I just gave to Rafi, Dario, and then two to Nani for fighting with both of them.
But see, Dario and Rafi 100% get in a fight with Bananas. Bananas starts that whole altercation, and you have Bananas, and I'm arguing.
I know, that's why that whole sequence was tough to score, because there was like chirping all around, but I don't know where to score the fighting points.
I would agree with you, but I would give points to Bananas for that, because right, Bananas starts the fight.
Yeah. All right, I'll toss five to him.
And then there's also like, when she throws a drink, that's the first hour.
Yeah, that's 10 points.
You gave Kellyanne and Anissa?
Just Anissa, because I mean, Kellyanne didn't do anything. She just got a drink thrown in her face.
Oh, no, but she's, are you kidding? That whole racist fight? Like, that's a fight.
Yeah, no, that's what I gave. I gave them each fighting points. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just saying the Anissa gets additional points for throwing a drink in her face.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm just talking about who else was fighting there. Yeah. I mean, then, Corey keeps calling her a bitch, but that's fine if you don't want to get that.
And then producers do come in to Anissa. So I toss 20 points to Anissa.
Do I have Anissa?
You do. So
Mazel tov.
And then Kellyanne cried. And everyone but Dario and Rafi survived the episode.
Nani also cried. Oh, you're doing this episode by episode. Episode by episode. Okay. All right.
So that's that. Next episode. Anthony and Kellyanne elimination points. Red team challenge points. Nani crying. I think all I have is Nani crying, and then
yeah,
everyone surviving the episode. No fighting points or anything.
Yeah, the fighting is really ambiguous.
It's very ambiguous. That's the toughest thing to score.
I just think Corey, like somehow, like in an amalgamation of all of his, like gathering all of the 2 hours, like he definitely had at least one fight. Like, he was in the center of all of it. He kept calling Anissa a bitch in that situation. And then he's, like, accosting her about not voting the way he wanted to vote.
He was on the outer edge of getting points, but
I think that's so subjective. I don't think he did anything.
100% subjective, but I don't know how else to treat this.
I think you should take into consideration my opinion.
I do take into consideration your place.
I vote that Corey was in at least one fight. If he's in two ambiguous fights, like one of those, if 50% of the time you rule one way and 50% of the time you rule the other, so, and he had two ambiguities, then one of those is a fight.
I don't even know where he fought. Like him calling Anissa a bitch to Mitch isn't really a fight.
No, not to Mitch. He was in between him and Kellyanne, or Anissa and Kellyanne.
I would just feel like he was just like dancing. That's not a fight.
He was like, don't mind that bitch, that bitch, that bitch.
I can't give it for that.
And then he did yell at her for not having, he was like getting agitated. I just think it's crazy to me that we walk out of this episode and he did not fight. But I couldn't care enough to fight with you anymore. I'm just kidding. Would you consider this a fight? I would. So then Corey fought.
What, me and you right
now? Yes.
No, I would not.
Yeah, that's fine.
You have 930 points. I have 640. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people left.
You doubled down on Nani and Nicole, right?
Yeah, that hurt me.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. I have 7 people left. I mean, even if Bananas and Vince win, who I have both, I don't think I can catch up. So I'm in deep shit.
Also, let the record show that I just rallied for Bananas to get points, and he's not on my team, and you shut down Corey getting points. Now, if I felt stronger about it, I would keep it going. But I don't disagree with you that it is on the verge, but just when you look at it overall, it's like, he's been fighting every day.
Every day, because it was all day.
Okay, so now that you've made fun of me, let's wrap this up. I have to go to bed. It's 7 p.m. It's past my bedtime.
Thank God we didn't do this like at our normal like late night hour, because this would have been a long time. So that's episode 5 and 6. You can subscribe at robiswebsite.com/challengeitunes. We'll be back next week, episode 7. You can follow me at Bus Driver's Route. They can follow you.
You know it.
Remind the newbies.
No, you know it.
At Last Tweets. I don't know why I don't just say it myself.
Say my name. No, I'm just kidding. I just always think like, you know, but you give me more of an opportunity to talk.
Exactly.
Which I need.
Exactly. I think that's all I got, right? That's it. Boom.
Peace.
That's it. Have a good one.